Hello everyone, my name is Philippe and this is the podcast Life with AI, the podcast that we talk about artificial intelligence in a simpler way. And for today's episode, we're gonna keep going with the series of PEFT, parameter efficient fine-tuning, and today I'm gonna talk about layer pruning and mixture of depths, so MOD. Like, these techniques actually, they are different of LoRa and QLoRa because their focus is mainly to decrease the inference time, while LoRa and QLoRa is to decrease the amount of trainable parameters, and when it comes to QLoRa, also quantize the model. So here we are mainly talking about the training, how long does it take and to train, and how many parameters do you need to update when you train, and also the instantiation of the model when it comes to QLoRa, the part of quantization, that we are able to reduce drastically the memory that we need for this model. So we need less GPUs to instantiate the model and also to train. When we are talking about layer pruning and mixture of depths, we're gonna see here in this episode that we're gonna mainly talk about inference time. So the number of flops operations that we need to do is lower, and I'm going to explain it during the episode. So let's start with mixture of depths. That is a paper proposed by Google like 2 weeks ago. So both papers, they are very new. They are not still used in practice, but they are things that may be going to become the standard soon. I don't know. So mixture of depths, like the mixture, everybody's using the name mixture of in the same way that everybody's using something is all you need because of mixture of experts. So now they're doing mixture of depths. There is a similar concept, and in this case the name does make sense. So basically their idea is not every token is important to make the prediction, which means that we don't need to process every token into every layer. We could choose a subset of tokens to be processed in a layer, and with this we would be able to process less tokens per layer, so we would be able to go faster. So the idea is, let's choose n, that is the number of tokens per sentence that we're gonna use in each layer. So let's say that we're gonna use 50% of the tokens, 20% of the tokens, we do it for every layer, or we do it every two layers, so one layer of full tokens and another one of like just 80%, 9%, or 50% of them. And an important concept to understand while you're explaining why is it faster is flops, floating point operations per second. So here we are measuring how many float operations we need to process to be able to get an out. It's very important to know it because the speedup is in the order of n squared, it's not in the order of n. So what happens is, when we compute the self-attention and the feed-forward network, we don't take a vector of size n, we take a matrix. So like, we take the self-attention, so we're gonna have n squared in the self-attention, that is the probability for every vector, so the sum is up to 1. So if we have 1,000 tokens, we're gonna have 1 million positions. So the floating operation per second gonna decrease also squared. So if you use 50% of the tokens, you do n divided by 2 squared, that is n divided by 4. So the speed up that you're gonna have is 4 times instead of 2, so it's very good. So in this case, instead of, we're gonna have 50% of the tokens and 25% of total operations. For this paper, they propose two possible approaches, and there it comes the part of mixture of experts. They propose a routing approach that can be either token routing or expert routing. So I have an episode about mixture of experts, but basically on mixture of experts, they have multiple experts, and there is a routing algorithm that's gonna choose which expert do we gonna send the token. This routing algorithm is basically like a one layer model that's gonna go from H to 1. So H is the hidden size of the model, so like let's say 512 to 1, and then we apply a sigmoid, and the sigmoid is giving us the probability that this token should be used in this layer in the case of this paper. So we're gonna apply it for every single token, and we're gonna pick the top K. This is what they proposed in an approach so-called expert routing, where the expert, in this case the layer, gonna choose which token gonna go for each layer. And this is good because there is a problem that doesn't happen here, that is the load balance problem. The load balance problem is what would happen if we choose the other approach, that is the token routing. So each token gonna choose the layer to go. So this brings a load balance problem because you may have that every single token gonna choose the same layer to go. So this layer will be overwhelmed and the other layers will be underutilized. So what's gonna happen is that we won't have any speed up because despite we are using less layers, every token is going to those layers, and we're gonna have some GPU cores that won't process anything because the layers are underutilized. So that's why they choose the expert routing approach, where for every layer we have a fixed amount of tokens that are going to this layer. And as I explained, the routing algorithm is basically like a one layer network that go from H to 1 and applies a sigmoid, and then we pick the top K. So if we say that that we have 100 tokens and we are passing only 80% of the tokens, we're going to apply this routing for every token. We're going to apply the sigmoid and we're going to have the top K, so the top 80 in this case. And we are passing those 80 tokens into the layer. And the 20 tokens that we didn't pass, we are basically forwarding the information that we have via an escape connection. And the results of this paper, so the results are not outstanding results, but it's a first research that is important to know. So the best results that they had are 12.5% of the tokens turned off in every two layers. So we're going to have one layer that processes the full tokens and another layer that processes 87.5% of capacity. And they say that it decreases around the 1 to 3% of performance on the model. But in this case, we would have for the layers that we are applying, a speed up of around 25%. So as we don't apply for all the layers, only 50% of them, we would have a speed up of like 12.5%, which is like not amazing. But this paper is published by Google. So if we take Gemini, for instance, the amount of people that call Gemini, if they were able to decrease 12.5% of inference time of computation need for the amount of calls that they have without losing performance, this would be amazing because they would be able to economize like a lot of money, which would be good for them. And as I said, this is a first research in this field. Like they were the first one to propose this approach. And probably in some weeks or months, we're going to have stuff that are able to, I don't know, speed up 50% and don't lose performance. I'm pretty sure they're going to do it soon. And then we go for the second paper, that is the pruning layers. And this paper is funny. So like basically the idea here is that we're going to prune consecutive layers, and pruning those consecutive layers won't affect the result of the model. So basically the idea for them is that some layers, they are not really important. So we can prune them. And what is funny about this specific paper is that it was published by like different background people. So we have people from Meta, we have people from Cisco, Zifra, from Sequoia Capital, that is a VC fund, and from MIT. It's like, I don't know how they came up together, but like they came up together and they produced this interesting paper I'm going to present right now. So as I said, the idea is to prune a set of consecutive layers such that it wouldn't affect the result of the model, or it wouldn't affect much. And in this case, we not only gain the inference time, because like if we cut 20% of the layers, the model goes 20% faster. It's a linear decreasing on the inference time, but we also decrease the memory of the model. So in this case, we will only need to initialize 80% of the model instead of 100% of it. So we gain in both ways, but it's a linear gain. It's not a quadratic gain as it is for a mixture of tests. So basically, how do they approach this problem? They're saying that we have two variables that we need to think about. The starting layer L and the number of layers to prune N. So they are saying that if I start in a layer L and I go like 10 layers further, and then let's go for a more concrete example. I have 100 layers. I start from layer 10 and I have 10 layers to prune. So I go from layer 10 to layer 20. I'm going to prune those layers. And basically from layer 9, I'm going to go to layer 21. And then this is what happens. So we have these two variables that we want to optimize here. And how do they choose those variables? Like how and where to cut? They're going to compute the angular distance between two layers and we're going to minimize it. So let's fix one of the variables to get easier. So let's say that we want to always start from the layer 10. And then we're going to optimize the variable N, that is the number of layers that we are pruning. So I start from 10 and then I check, should I prune one layer, two layers, three layers, 10 layers, 20 layers, 50 layers? And then I'm going to have the angular distance between the layer 10 and the other layer. I'm going to minimize this distance. So I'm going to know where should I cut. And then I'm going to find that, I don't know, N equals 10 is the best one to cut. So I'm going to cut 10 layers. And then I can do the same for the other variable. So I can fix the amount of layers to cut. So like I want to cut 10 layers or 20 layers. And I'm going to decide where should I start. So like, should I start on layer 10 on layer 25? So I fix one and change the other, or I fix the other and change the one, or I can change both and see how do I optimize the matrix of all the possibilities. So what they propose extra than only pruning those layers is that they could heal the pruning via parameter efficient fine tuning using QLoRa. So the idea is, okay, I'm pruning from layer 10 to layer 20, but instead of just pruning the layers and going on, I'm going to apply a QLoRa. I could apply a QLoRa in the full network or only in the pruned layers. So like I lost from layer 10 to layer 20. So now I have layer 9 and the consecutive layer is the 21. Those layers, they are not connected from the pre-training, but I'm going to heal them using QLoRa. So I'm going to include an adapter on it, and this adapter gonna heal the network, so I'm gonna have a better connection between both. So almost no extra parameter. The effort to train on QLoRa is very okay, and let's go for the results to see what works the best. So on the results, they compare both healing and without healing, and they take three family of models: Llama 70 billion, Queen, and Llama 2, Queen, and Mistral. For Llama 2, they have the 70 billion, 13 billion, and 7 billion. And the results that they have is, without healing, the capacity of the model drops after 30% of layers pruned. So, like, of course, they optimize N and L to see what is the best moment to cut. And if they drop 30% of the layers, the model starts dropping, which means that from 0 to 30%, the model have a very good performance, similar to original performance, but with 30% less layers, if no healing. If we can heal, the performance of the model starts dropping on 45% for Llama 2 70 billion. So like we can cut 45% of the layers of the model and we still gonna be able to have good results. What they show is that after this dropping point, like the 30% for no healing and the 45% for healing, the performance goes down like straight down. So like we have a 98% performance of the original model, this on 45, and then on 50% pruning, we go for like 5% of original model performance. So we really drop. For the 13 billion model is similar, and for the 7 billion model, it's very bad. So like you shouldn't apply this technique on 7 billion Llama 2. When it comes to the Queen model, they tested the 13 billion and the 7 billion versions. The performance honest for them is a bit weird. Like the performance goes down and goes up depending on the amount of pruning layers. And for a specific amount of pruning layers, they had a better results than the original model, which means that it's weird. And after 20%, both healing and without healing, it drops fully after 20%. If we take Mistral 7 billion, the performance, they drop after 30% for both healing and not healing, which is good. And what is funny about like this is that we don't know, like I was discussing with some friends, so we don't know if the dropping or not dropping means that there are some layers of the network that they're unused or that the model is robust enough or not. So like we don't know if being able to drop is good or not, saying that the model is robust or saying that the model is underutilized. So like maybe in some further research we're gonna have more information about it, but in this paper we still don't have. And just a last thing about before finishing, in the analysis that they did by both changing N and L, they saw that the last few layers, they were the ones being dropped most of the time. So they say, not the last layer, like not the last one and or last two layers, but like the between the minus 10 to minus 5, those they were normally dropped. So they say, why instead of like optimizing everything, we do a simple approach, we just drop those layers. So this would be a simple approach. However, the result is no, you cannot do it. It's very bad. So it's way better to drop based on the angular distance instead of just dropping the last few layers. So that's basically this. Those, not models, but those approaches, as I said, they are not approaches that are changing everything so far, but there are cool papers that is important to know, and maybe soon people are gonna start using those techniques to prune their models and to have faster inference. So I hope you guys enjoyed the episode. Don't forget to follow the podcast and also share with your friends. The podcast on Instagram is podcast.lifewithai, on LinkedIn is lifewithai, and that's it. See you guys next episode. Goodbye.